Good evening, and welcome to Politically Incorrect with your host, Andrew Schechter. This week's topic is the $25 trillion debacle brought to you by EternalAffairsMedia.com, also known as EA Truth Media. Your host tonight is myself, Andrew Schechter, author of Dark Water, Game Over, and two-time delegate for Donald Trump at the Republican National Convention. Please help us if you can with a donation at donate.eamedia.online or by buying some bling at store.eamedia.online. Help keep the truth online. As always, we open with a brief prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray. We pray that you're still out there. We pray that you're listening. We believe. But the world is a troubled place right now. Please, dear Lord, we pray that you don't stay out of our business, that you come down and stand beside us and help us through these trying times. We pray that we survive with our dignity and our lives, and that our future is bright. We pray these things in your heavenly, glorious name, O Lord. Amen. And we give a shout out. We had another sponsor, I believe it's on this list, to our great patrons that help out with the program every week. Lisa, Reverend Dave, Alicia, Catherine, and now also Rudy. Thank you. Thank you very much for helping out with the cause and keeping the truth online. So we're going to build up a little here and try to build up a little bit of an audience here. And while we're waiting, I'll say we've been some serious trying times for me in the last few weeks. I'll tell you, looking to try to replace a car and it's rotting away and having all kinds of time doing that. Boy, I'll tell you, getting a car these days, it's the worst thing when you have to get a car in the middle of this pandemic. Forget it. It's almost impossible to get a used car, and new cars are not even on the lot. The price is ridiculous. And I had a leaking roof, and it's been raining like mad over here the past couple of days. We had 2 inches of rain today. And I think 3 inches of that went in my upstairs bathroom. Actually, we had a roofer come out and work on it last week, and it's pretty close to being fixed at this point after 15 years and 15 different roofers. I call it the haunted bathroom. No matter what you do, and you could literally put that thing in a bubble, in a glass bubble, and it would still leak water. And all of a sudden, we got squirrels in the attic now. You know, squirrels are evil. Squirrels, I'm convinced squirrels are the most evil things on the planet. Squirrels, every single squirrel is a Democrat. There's no doubt about it in my mind. They welch off you. They insist you throw bread for free to them. They go nest in your attic. Then when you go to try and chase them out, they come after you with knives and swords and pretend to be sweet little cute things. No, they're not cute little things. They're evil. They're pure evil. They're Satan incarnate. Anyway, enough of my story. I got a few people in. We can get started. But I do want to make an announcement that there will be no podcast next week. I do apologize. Next week is the great writer's booth at the Bloomsburg Fair in Bloomsburg, Pennsylvania, Northeast PA. If you're around the area, if you live in Pennsylvania or in that area, feel free to stop by. I run that booth. We have about 20 authors this year, and I will have my Dark Water Game Over about the whistleblower from Bulgaria. Copies for that for purchase with the signature and your custom whatever you want written in it. Got to throw in a pitch for that. It's a great book. A lot of research working with this fellow. Boy, I'll tell you, I thought he was crazy at first, but you know, we get crazier and crazier. It's just crazy. All right. We got to get started. We got a lot to discuss tonight, and it's going to be a time-limited show, so we're going to be very careful. progress. Very important thing has come up. And that's this infrastructure bill. People don't understand this infrastructure bill. I understand it, and I'm scared of it. I understand the Republicans didn't bother to read it. And the Democrats know what they're doing. The plan is that the Democrats are going to make the Republicans look like smacked asses if they don't pass the bill, because it's got all this great stuff for the poor blacks in the inner city and for the infrastructure and for giving out internet and that sort of thing. Well, you don't realize what's in it, though. And this $1 trillion is, now, they call it the $1 trillion and the $3.5 trillion infrastructure bill. So, but it's not. Let's look at the $1 trillion. The $1 trillion bill is really that. Now, think of $1 trillion. I want you to think, folks. Think real hard. If you had $1 million, could you retire? Would you be happy? So, yeah, the United Nations. I'm looking at comments here. I apologize. You're right. It's United Nations. Think about it. If you had $1 million, how happy would you be? Now think about having $1 billion. You know, I started to think about $1 billion. What in God's name would I even do with $1 billion? How would you ever spend $1 billion if you had it? $1 billion, you could buy a small town. Now think of $1 trillion. You're going up tenfold each time. $1 trillion is an unfathomable amount of money. Yeah, you know, Fort Knox is a pretty big building, but $1 trillion in $1 bills would completely fill that building. $1 trillion would fill the Capitol building in Washington, D.C. in $1 bills. $1 trillion. They want to spend $1 trillion. Now, figure out how much $1 trillion is for every man, woman, and child working or not working in the United States of America. $1 trillion. What could you do with $1 trillion? You could do so much with $1 trillion that would be really, truly useful. But no. No, that's not the case. Now, you know, some of the things in that bill, in the $1 trillion bill, some of those things are actually pretty good. $1 trillion bill has a lot of really cool stuff in it. It's got great stuff for transportation, roads and bridges, railroads, power grid for updating the power grid. $65 billion for broadband. And $55 billion for water infrastructure. $47 billion for cybersecurity and climate change to reduce flooding, wildfires, coastal erosion, droughts, and extreme weather events. $39 billion for public transit, $25 billion for airports, $21 billion for the environment. We don't know what that even is. Superfunds, mines, it's all good stuff. That's why the Republicans seem to like this. Highways, bridges, pedestrians, pipelines, engineers for port authorities, rebuilding and security. Western water infrastructure. There's a, you know, I've been saying on past podcasts that water, it's not energy that's going to bring us down. It's water. About 2/3 of the United States of America doesn't have enough water, won't have enough water to last through the next 20 years. The water they're coming out of, that they're digging out of the ground, the water they're digging out of the ground right now is about 1 to 10 million years old. Been sitting under there. It's been percolating down. Crazy. You know, you can't keep drinking water that was put down there 50,000, 100,000 million years ago. You're going to run out. Too many people, too much farming. Farming kills it. So that's a great part of the bill to figure that out. How about, you know, now they want to have $7.5 billion for electric school buses. You know, electric school bus is not a bad idea. Certain things electric are good. Electric cars, I don't believe in. But electric school buses, that's a cool idea because you only use them in the morning and in the afternoon. You might as well have them electric. Why burn fuel? $7.5 billion for electric vehicle charging stations. That's one of my pet peeves. Electric vehicles, one of the most evil things ever created. Wasteful, dirty. Inciters of slave labor. Recycling nightmare. That's actually part of the bill, is to figure out how to recycle batteries and how to get batteries that are more recyclable. I'm going to go over the timeline for this. I want to tell you what the problem is and what the topic for this show is tonight. Because if you look at Section 1, Concurrent Resolution of the Budget for Fiscal Year 2021, Subtitle A, Budgetary Levels in Both Houses, Section 1101, Recommended Levels and Amounts. This is what they plan to spend. It's not $1 trillion, folks. It's $1 trillion in the first year. Now, if you look at the $3.5 trillion, we're going to go to that in a minute. Let's look at the $3.5 trillion, which includes the $1 trillion, which means $4.5 trillion. In the first year, the intent is to spend $2.3 trillion. In fiscal year 2022, $2.7 trillion. In 2023, $2.9 trillion. In 2024, $3.09 trillion. In 2025, $3.23 trillion. In 2026, $3.514 trillion, in 2027, $3.7 trillion, in 2028, $3.88 trillion, in 2029, $4 trillion, and in 2030, $4.1 trillion. It does not extend beyond that. Do the math. You're looking over $25 trillion. $25 trillion. That'll put every American citizen, working or not, newborn or 95 years old, every single human being in the United States of America will have a bill owed to the federal government of over $250,000. Is there any chance in hell we'll ever repay that debt? Oh, and get this. Now let's look at who's supporting this bill. So the Republicans are supporting the $1 trillion plan, which has a lot of good stuff in it, but it's still, we can't pay for it. Do you realize the Republicans passed this on August the 10th? Now, I don't know all the ins and outs of the Congress, but somehow I always thought that it went from the House to the Senate, then got passed or not. Well, it went to the Senate, and now it's going back to the House for some kind of weird mumbo jumbo, and they're insisting that the Democrats are insisting that if the reconciliation for their $3 trillion bill doesn't pass along with the $1 trillion, they're not going to support the $1 trillion bill. That's probably a good thing because both of them suck. Do you realize that in this $1 trillion bill that Democrats and Republicans and a lot of Republicans agreed on, if it is enacted, it would be enacted this year by October 1st, your gas tax, your federal gas tax, which was 18.3 cents per gallon already, will jump to 53.3 cents. 53.3 cents of every gallon of gasoline that you buy will go to federal pork. It will not go in your gas tank. 53 cents per gallon. That's like $10 a fill up. Going directly to bureaucrats who are going to spend this on stuff that's going to be worthless to the economy, worthless to the United States of America, and worthless to you. And both parties passed this. Now, the $3 trillion, oh, and diesel fuel will go from 19.7 cents to 24.3 cents. Doesn't sound like a lot, but remember, diesel fuel powers America. It's your tractors, your tractor trailers that move your goods, your machinery that digs up your metals and your minerals for your solar cells and your batteries and whatever else you might want to dig up. What's that going to do to the cost of goods in the United States of America? Roughly a 35 cent increase in the gas tax. Unbelievable, folks. And to make matters worse, it's going to be inflation controlled so that every year that amount could go up as inflation goes up. And inflation will go up with this plan. So that gas tax will go up every year. Now, here's a cute thing, too. The past few podcasts, I've mentioned this, that one of the things they want to do in their $3 trillion bill is to ban the sale of natural supplements. They want to make them like Schedule 1 or 3 or whatever these schedules are they've got, where you've got to go to get a prescription for them. Folks, they're out to kill everybody. This bill has to die. We have to tell all of our Congress and Senate, if they pass this bill, they will not be elected. They will not be elected in the next election. So just a brief synopsis. Oh, and I did download the $3 trillion bill, the proposed $3 trillion reconciliation. They call it a reconciliation. That's the scary part, because if they pass, if the House passes and agrees with the Senate on the $1 trillion bill, then they only need a majority to pass the reconciliation for the $3 trillion bill. That should be illegal. They shouldn't be allowed to do that. They should get rid of executive orders, too, while they're at it. Yeah, they want to, I don't know if you heard of it, they want to improve and reduce the presidential powers. But they don't mention anything about executive orders. Executive orders are the first thing you should get rid of. They're evil. We'd have no representation with an executive order, folks. They're unconstitutional. All right, so on the 10th of August, by a vote of 69 to 30, including 19 Republicans, and 50 Democrats, the U.S. Senate passed a $1.2 trillion infrastructure package known as the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act. Then following passage, it's sent back to the House of Representatives, where further adjustments are expected. Should the bill pass, the House and Senate will need to consolidate their respective versions for a final bill to go to President Biden for his signature. Tuesday's bill, however, is one of two pieces of infrastructure legislation under consideration in the Senate. In addition to the $1.2 trillion bipartisan bill, there's a second $3.5 trillion Democratic proposal in play. On August the 9th, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer addressed his second bill in a letter to colleagues, saying, "I will immediately move to the fiscal year 2022 budget resolution with reconciliation instructions." Chuck Schumer. Reconciliation means $3.5 trillion bill could pass the Senate by a simple majority vote, avoiding the risk of a filibuster. And some House progressives had said they will not support the bipartisan $1.2 trillion plan unless the Senate moves quickly on the second bill. Just before 4 a.m. Wednesday morning, August the 11th, the Senate passed the blueprint of the $3.5 trillion second bill on a party line vote, 50-49.3. Folks, 2022 can't come soon enough. We need to throw out in 2022 every single Democrat that's running for re-election or election, every single one of them, and every rhino Republican that voted for this bill. Every one of them, folks. Then on August the 24th, the House of Representatives passed an identical budget resolution by a 220 to 212 vote along party lines that enables the Senate Democrats to attempt to pass the $3.5 trillion bill by a simple majority using the budget reconciliation process provided the fragile truce between the progressive and moderate Democrats holds. Now, what happens next? What happens next is the scary part. Possible timeline. Possible timeline would be that on September the 27th, September the 27th is a deadline to vote on the $1.2 trillion infrastructure package, though it's technically non-binding. It does carry political weight in the force of Pelosi's August the 24th statement. Whether it will help or hinder the passage of either bill will depend on how quickly the members of Congress can craft acceptable provisions. Now, craft acceptable provisions. What the hell is an acceptable provision to an extra 35 cents inflationary corrected in your gas tax? There's no acceptable solution to that. I'm sorry. Prognosis is good, though, because with the standoff between progressive House Democrats and leadership resolved for now, the September 27 deadline looms large. If a $3.5 trillion budget package isn't ready, Democrats could be forced to vote on a smaller bipartisan bill first and end up with a much less ambitious budget weeks later. Regardless of the final outcome or timeline, Senate passage of the bipartisan infrastructure bill and House passage of the budget resolution are generally seen as a big win for the Biden administration. In public remarks in the White House on August 24th, President Biden said the U.S. House of Representatives is taking a significant step forward in making a historic investment that is going to transform America. Cut taxes for working families. Biden said, cut taxes for work. Now, I want you to hear this very closely. Let me read that again. Biden said this. The House of Representatives is taking a very significant step forward, making a historic investment that is going to transform America. It certainly will. Cut taxes for working families. Cut taxes for working families. They're going to increase the gas tax 35 cents a gallon. That's just one of the taxes they're going to increase. They're going to increase the excise taxes. They're going to increase the price of diesel fuel, which is going to increase the price of goods to every American in this country. What the hell is Joe Biden talking about? Where is it? What is the matter with him? What's the matter with the people that support him? What the hell's the matter with them? Look, am I crazy? It feels like I've gone into Alice in Wonderland and I've transformed into this mystical creature who's being led around on a chain by some evil old fart with brilliant ideas that are going to destroy all of us. Is it me, folks? Am I stupid? Do I have a right to be disgusted and fed up with this administration, with this entire Congress? Or am I losing my mind? Sometimes I feel like I've died and gone into some weird inner sanctum, some transitory division between space and time and some kind of weird Star Trek time continuum with these mystical beings that are making my head roll. So he goes on and he says it will position the American economy for long-term growth. And he did say that, for long-term growth. Now that's kind of interesting. You don't know what the hell he's saying. He doesn't even know how to speak. Cut taxes for working families. Where I don't see anywhere in this 2,500 pages. It's 2,500 pages, folks. I downloaded it. It's huge. It doesn't even fit on my flash drive. It's huge. No, there's no way anybody's reading this stuff. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, the funny thing is that all the tax cuts are for the rich, even though it's the Democrats putting this forward. And all the improvements are for the poor Black and Hispanic communities. I don't have a problem with helping the poor Blacks and Hispanics. But it needs to be even. I'm going to go over some of this stuff because you're not going to read 2,700 pages. I will. I had a long week ahead at the author's booth, sitting and managing that thing. I had 8 days where all I can do is read a 2,700-page document. It's going to be great. So where's this money going in the $3.5 trillion? $135 billion, the Committee on Agriculture, Nutrition, and Forestry. Funding to be used to address forest fires, reduce carbon emissions, and address drought concerns. Right. And Joanne makes a good comment. Poor is poor. And that's exactly the way I feel. We have a lot of poor. You know, I'm going to stop for a minute here because that comment was really great. You know, why do we have to put color in it? Poor is poor. Absolutely right. 100%. You know, I live in rural Northeast Pennsylvania. And everyone around me is dirt poor. Hell, I'm pretty poor myself. Our roads are broken up. Our telecom infrastructure stinks. We have lousy broadband. And 90% of the population where I live is white. But we're left out because we're not Black or Hispanic. Where did color suddenly come? I thought we got over that years ago. I don't get it. All of a sudden, the Democrats have become racist. Maybe they've always been racist. I don't know. All right. 300. Yep, York. York is poor too. A lot of York. You're right. A lot of Pennsylvania. A lot of poor Pennsylvanians. And you've got, you know, Appalachia, and you've got all of the, you know, all these white communities that are as poor as any other Black community, but they're going to be neglected because of York. You're going to hear this when we go on a couple of these topics that are in this bill. $332 billion for the banking committee to include investments in public housing, the trust fund, housing affordability and equity, and community land trusts. You got to read into that. It's investments in public housing. Where is most of the public housing? I'll leave it at that. $198 billion for the Energy and Natural Resources Committee to develop clean energy. $198 billion to take away your gasoline-powered cars, your coal-fired electric plants, and replace them with windmills and solar panels. $67 billion for the Environment and Public Works Committee. What the hell difference is that between the Energy and Natural Resources? I don't get that. These monies would fund low-income solar and other climate-friendly technologies. So now the poor get free solar panels in addition to free cell phones. Look, hey, I've been really poor. I've been on welfare. I'm not proud of it, but I am proud of it because I pulled myself up by my bootstraps. I was out of work for a long time. I had an injury. I've been there. So I know what it's like. It's tough. You know, that free cell phone that they gave me when cell phones first came out, it was a godsend. Got me back to work. I didn't sit on my laurels. I got right back up, got back on that horse. So yes, it's good, but they're not talking that. They're talking about public subsidized, let's translate low-income solar and other climate-friendly, low-income. Let's translate low-income in Democrat terms. Low-income means permanently publicly subsidized human beings. That's low-income. It's not people that really have low income. It's people that are too lazy to work or that they would rather just give money and give free stuff to rather than figure out how to get them back to work. There's a lot of jobs out there. We could put these people to work. They don't want to work. They want the free stuff. All right, $1.8 trillion. Now, here's a big one. $1.8 trillion. That's more than the initial budget to begin with. The initial budget plan was for $1.1 trillion, remember? So in this $3 trillion bill, there's a $1.8 trillion budget for the Finance Committee. This part of the bill is for investments in working families, which is good, the elderly, and the environment. It allegedly includes a tax cut for Americans making less than $400,000 a year, lowering the price of prescription drugs, that'll be interesting, and ensuring the wealthy and large corporations pay their fair share of taxes. That sounds good, but next podcast, we're going to talk about that because it's not good, and it's not a tax cut. But it's part of that 2,700 pages. I'm only up to page 500, so it's going to take me a while. I got a week off. By the way, for those who have entered the studio late or listening to this offline, just a reminder, I will not be on the podcast. This podcast will not be on next week, as I will be running the author's booth at the Bloomsburg Fair in Bloomsburg, Pennsylvania. Anybody that's in the area, more than welcome to stop by, pick up a signed copy of my book, Dark Water, Game Over, and learn about the true deep state. And the evil that, you know, I found just these whistleblowers that I interviewed were just unbelievable. So there will be no podcast next week. We'll be back the following week, however. And we'll probably talk about this budget again. All right. Now another big one. $726 billion for Health, Labor, Education, and Pensions Committee. Now there's an interesting one. This addresses universal pre-K for 3 and 4 year olds. Universal pre-K. You know, why can't kids be kids? Is there any reason, folks, that a kid can't be a kid? Now, it's also part of this $726 billion, which is 750 billion dollars. Also includes child care for working families. Now, there's something that's useful. But, you know, employers really should provide more of that or provide a subsidy for that. They say, we can't get employees. Well, the problem they can't get employees is that the workers can't pay to have their kids watched. Now, years ago, I had an interesting job that I worked at. I was very aggressive in sales in a box store, basically. They were giving out little spiffs for selling certain items. And the course of virtually a year of practice doing that, I made more money for myself than the revenue for the entire district. To the point where the district manager came in and thought I was stealing from the company or cheating. He watched me work. It's like, damn, this guy's good. Well, it turns out I ended up getting a divorce. My wife left me with my two kids. And I went back to my boss. And I said, boss, not going to be able to keep up with you. I'm going to have to quit because I got to take care of my two kids. You know what he told me? Here, this is serious. When you're a valued employee, he goes, hell no. He goes, you bring your kids here. So I'll even let you go, you know, to the bus stop, pick him up and bring him up here. He says, I'll have one of my other employees watch him. It's a box store. If you're a good employee, you'll be taken care of. And you know what happened after that? He said, you know, this is great. We'll have somebody on a more or less permanent basis watch kids so that others could work. And he had, now it's a full staff. He has one person watching 4 or 5 kids. You know, on certain days. But he's got a staff in his store. Folks, it's got to be worthwhile. You have to have value. You have to offer value to your employer. All right. Health, Labor, and Education Pensions Committee addresses pre-K, which is useless, for 3 and 4 year olds. Let them play. Let them stay the hell home and play. Child care for working families. That has some value. Tuition-free community college. Well, you know, that's a socialist program, but it's there. I'm not going to debate the value of these programs. And here is the catcher. My tax dollars, your tax dollars. I don't know if you're black, white, or what color you are, but this is still an unfair to have the money of all the people representing the United States, people who are equal. The Constitution says we're equal. Declaration of Independence says we're equal. And in this bill, the $726 million or $726 billion piece of this bill, funding for historically black colleges and universities. What the hell's with that? I could see not funding Harvard and, you know, there's top-notch, you know, MIT and those. But to use that word, to just say historically black right there is a totally, completely wrong, racist comment. The Democrats should be carrying a friggin' Confederate flag instead of the Republicans. This is where your money's going in this bill if it passes. Now they're going to electrify. Here's the HSGAC committee. I have no idea what the hell that stands for. But it's going to electrify the federal vehicle fleet. Electrify and rehab federal buildings. What the heck's that mean? Electrify federal buildings. Don't they have electricity? I don't know. Improve cybersecurity. That's a good thing. And reinforce border management. Build a friggin' wall. It's a lot less than $37 billion to build a wall. What the hell's the matter with these people? All right. $20.5 billion for the Indian Affairs Committee. Addresses Native American health programs and facilities, education programs, housing, energy programs, Native language programs, and a Native Civilian Climate Corps. Well, you know, I can't knock that. I mean, I don't like the bill to begin with, but I can't knock that since we did steal the country from the Native Americans. Gave them smallpox and killed them all off, then stuck them on little reservations. I don't have a problem giving them a few dollars. And I love them. I know a lot of Native Americans. We have a lot around here in Northeast PA. You know, towns around us, Neskahoning, Nescapec, all after Native American tribes. Hell, you know, I was thinking the other day, I said, you know, it might not be a bad idea if Native Americans rose up and fought war against the United States of America and took their country back. Probably do a better job than Democrats and the Republicans. And then, you know, it's funny because you got $18 billion for Veterans Affairs Committee to upgrade the veterans facilities. $18 billion. But $726 billion to go to historically black colleges. Yet the veterans, the people that fight for our country and die for our country, get the smallest piece of the pie. And live under bridges in tents. And lastly, there's an $83 billion for the Commerce Committee to go to investments in technology, transportation, research, manufacturing, and economic development. It's not bad. I mean, if you're going to spend the money, might as well spend it on something useful. But what a waste. And the problem is we don't have the money to do it. How are you going to give tax cuts to the middle class and the working class when you're spending $25 trillion? Who are you going to get it from? And how are you going to send the working class to work paying an extra 35 cents a gallon increased every year for gasoline to drive their cars to work? And Chuck Schumer wants to push this through. What's he, Democrat? And they're bastards. They come in and they put a $1 trillion bill in, which is going to give you that gas tax anyway. Nobody seems to care. Nobody talks about that on the news. Then they're going to shove this reconciliation garbage up our backside. It's only going to be passed by a majority. I'm really scared of this. I just hope that the Republican Party
is smart enough to shut it down. And some of the Democrats are kind of annoyed with it, too. Keep an eye on it, folks, because the news isn't talking about it. You're going to have to look this up on your own. But over the course of the next 2 weeks, I'm going to be reading this $3.5 trillion bill, 2,750 pages. And maybe we'll have some more for the podcast coming up first week of December. Again, I will not be here next week. This podcast will not be here this week. We will be silent. So everyone, your homework for next week at this time, 10 p.m. Eastern time, set yourself a reminder. I want you to sit down in a quiet spot. Forget about your family. Forget about your friends. Forget about your lives. Look up to the sky and say, praise to God. Get us out of this thing. Where are we headed? And how can I help? How can we stop the great reset? How can we stop the great takeover by the universal deep state? And who can we get to help us? Who can we get to help us? So that's your homework for next week. You're going to do your own podcast in your mind because you're going to come back prepared for the infrastructure bill first Thursday in October. We'll not be here next week once again. I will be at the Bloomsburg Fair, Northeast PA. If you're here in the area, please do stop by and support us in the Arts and Crafts Building and pick up a signed copy of my book. And by the way, I always mentioned that we want to promote this podcast, and we have a great crowd tonight. Boy, I'm real proud of everybody. So happy to see the numbers are building. Please throw some hearts and flowers and whatever Podbean allows you to throw at us. Maybe a few dollars to donate.eamedia.online. We really need some cash to keep this thing going. Anything you can do. Yeah, but it all, showing your support is the biggest thing. If you can come in and to say, hey, we like the podcast, like it, share it, tell your friends about it, and let's make this thing grow bigger and bigger every day. The group that we have up here in Northeast PA called We the People, it's a nationwide group, but our group has grown from about 5 or 6 people to over 250 people. Great crowd, lots of impact, and it's been very well received. So whatever you can do, let's make the podcast big. Let's make our groups big. Let's get back together. Let's reunite and bring this country back to what it used to be. What to its wonderful greatness that the founders had in mind. We the people of the great United States of America. We the people, not them, not those people that are trying to take over control of our nation. God bless every one of you. Thank you so much for coming tonight. Again, in 2 weeks, we'll have our next podcast. We'll see you then. Thanks again. Have a great, wonderful evening. Stay safe. Good night, everybody. See you in 2 weeks.